Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country. And the producer thinks I'm going to say and cheese country, but I'm going to say and festival country.
No!
This is where we gather to celebrate everything. I mean, practically, I mean, really, I mean, if your door slams, let's have a parade. But the good news is that a lot of it is really worth celebrating. Oh, it's all worth celebrating. And today we're going to celebrate one of my favorites because 20 years ago, I was doing something called the Russian River Food and Wine Fest, and we got a grant from Gallo to do something to acknowledge the artisan food makers in our community. And they had to give away the money to somebody else to do it because they, as a wine country, as a wine company, weren't allowed to do it directly. That, you know, it's interesting. But so I got it. My assistant, my former assistant, was working for them, and we did the Russian River Food and Wine Fest out at what is now Dawn Ranch in a meadow that was considered overflow camping. Turns out to be one of the most beautiful meadows everywhere and anywhere. And so up in the 100-year-old apple orchard, we had a cheese festival. We invited all of our artisan cheese-making friends and everybody that wanted to come from the festival, and we all got together. After that, we got some bylaws from other cheese guilds around the country, and the California Artisan Cheese Guild was formed, and then they started to do it as an organization, and it was for a long time, usually in a tent and inside at the Sheraton in Petaluma, but the last few years it has been at the fairgrounds. And so this weekend, we're talking to you in the middle of it. We're recording on Friday while they're out at the farm tours. This is going to air on Saturday during some of the seminars that are going on all over the county. And then Sunday, tomorrow. And that's why we're talking to you today. The marketplace happens. There are two parts of the marketplace. You can come early and be with me. I will be hosting the Bubbles and Bites at, I want to say 9:45, 9:30, something like that. But only a few hundred people get to come in. There are some tickets left, but you can only buy them online. But you can buy them online outside, out front, if you want to, if you have your phone. And what you get is a little bit of a preview, and you get a series of delicious, delicious bites. And yes, that's true, sips of bubbles. And you get to be in the marketplace early. The total number for the whole marketplace day is only 1,500 people. We try to keep it, they try to keep it, so that you can really get to talk to the cheesemakers and all the artisans. There's something like 80 different artisans and 20 or 30 different cheesemakers, and you can imagine that each cheesemaker makes a whole bunch of cheeses. So you're going to be tasting many, many cheeses, and there will be roughage for all afterwards. No, I'm just teasing. So I'm going to be talking today with Wei Johnson, who is the boss of cheese, the emperor of cheese, the president, the you're the cheese manager at Oliver's, right?
Correct. Yeah, I run the category.
I love that. Yeah, right. You run the gamut too.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
All four stores. You go from store to store.
Mm-hmm. All four.
With your magic cheese wand.
That's right.
How did you start in all this?
Honestly, I kind of just stumbled upon cheese. I moved to the area. I lived down the street from the Cotati store, and I needed a job. So I just wore a nice shirt. I went in, and I applied for every possible position. I got randomly hired for cheese, and little did I know that there's a whole universe out there waiting for me. I had no idea, and it was just such a wonderful growth experience from that to where I am today, and now I can't see myself doing anything but cheese.
You know what's really funny is that that's exactly how it happened to me. I was living in San Francisco in my 20s, and I needed a job, and there was a sign in the window, manager wanted. I didn't know anything. I bought some cheese at the cheese board in Berkeley a couple of times. You know what I mean? I knew nothing. And when I got the job, because I was cheery, and I had, the clean shirt, that's what did it. And then I got an MBA the hard way, meaning the people who owned it went Chapter 11 the second week of my employment, not like Oliver's. And so I had $200 and 32 cheeses and a storefront at the base of Knob Hill. And I had to learn day by day how to get through, how to talk to people. Customers and cheese counters, they know so much, don't they?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you learn a whole culture. I love culture. That's a cheese reference.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's just leave that. Yeah. Let's just call it a reference at this point. Anyway, the point is that that's exactly what happened. And I had the same response that you did. I stumbled into this because I needed a job. And then shortly after, I thought, oh, my gosh, I can learn everything about food. And learning about food, right, through cheese, it's just magical. What do you like the best about it?
I I guess, just being in that constant state of learning. I never get tired of just doing the same old job, right? I'm always learning something new, and the more I learn, the bigger I realize the scope of the cheese world is, and the less I feel that I know, and it just drives me to learn more. And of course, cheese is delicious, so it doesn't hurt to eat cheese every single day of my life. That's a big plus in my life.
Yeah.
The customer interactions, working with the farmers, there's a lot of things I'm grateful for.
Well, I will tell you that you're right about all of that. I concur completely, because there's so much you can learn. You do learn across the counter. I learned a lot on the phone. I would talk to the distributors, and sometimes, and in those days, I don't know if you guys ever have this, but in those days, there would be a guy in a refrigerated van with fancy French and Italian cheeses, and he would pull up in front of the store, and I would climb in with him and buy a box of these and some of those and six of those and three of those, and I had to sell them. I needed to sell them by next week so that I could buy something else.
Wow.
Talk about an impetus. If you've just joined us, I'm blathering away about cheese with Wade Johnson. He's the director of the cheese division.
How's that? The gourmet cheese coordinator.
Because nothing at Oliver's is uncoordinated. I mean, it's all very, and this is not, I think it's like the second or third year that Oliver's has been part of the Artisan Cheese Festival, right?
For this event, yeah. When it was at the Sheridan, we used to participate in a different capacity. We would do the Best Bite competition, and we've always been sponsors of the Guild for as long as I can remember, the 15 years I've been at Oliver's. We've always tried to be heavily involved, the community. Like, focus has always been a big thing for us.
Well, and it's so natural to you. And I'm sure that, and this is one of the things I really love, is that, of course, it's there for everybody to enjoy. But if you're in the biz, if you have a restaurant, if you have a cafe, if you're a server, if you're a clerk, going to this marketplace where you pay to get in, but you also can not just sample, but you can buy things to take home, which is so fair for the cheesemakers and the artisans, because they can't just afford to give away stuff, and there's no way to make it economically viable by charging $1 million at the front door and paying everybody. That's crazy. So this is a great opportunity for you to meet people directly that you may not get out to see, and to taste and learn things, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. We're not going to be selling anything as Oliver's at the event. We're just going to feed people, and I just want to direct them to the people that make all these foods that we love. It's a really special opportunity to go to the marketplace.
So you're going to be the marketplace coordinator.
Something like that. I'm just there to give people cheese. My job is simple on Sunday. It's easy. Yeah. Right. That's in my comfort zone.
I like that. All right. Well, look, just so that you know, again, today through Sunday, March 21 through 23, the 19th annual California Artisan Cheese Festival, and it is artisancheesefestival.com. The Guild is an org, but this is a com, because it's basically for commerce, right? And for deliciousness. And it is at the Santa Rosa, the Sonoma County Farm, the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. And the Bubbles and Bites will be in the Sarah Lee and Richard Kundi barn, which I love. It's just a wonderful, warm and friendly and welcoming place. And then in the Great Hall, I think it's Grace Hall or one of the other halls. They can't haul it around. It's too big. Right?
Yeah, it's the main hall right on entrance off of.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's the main hall.
Yeah, I think it's the main hall.
Let's call it the main hall. Anyway, you're going to get a good haul of great cheeses and a lot of other artists that did terrible. We're going to be talking to a new cheesemaker. We're going to give you some updates. But again, there are only a couple of, as of Saturday, no, Friday. What day is today? Who am I? As of today, there are a couple of hundred of the general admission tickets left, and about 100 or less of the Bubbles and Bites tickets. So if you want to, and this place, it always sells out. And I like to do this last little locals push, because it's folks listening. You're at the farmer's market, it's Saturday, you're driving around doing errands. And you say, oh, wait a second, I forgot to get a ticket. You can only get a ticket, you can get it on your phone, but you can only get it online. It's much more organized that way. So I really encourage you to do that. Are the cheese departments at Oliver's really different from spot to spot?
They vary a little bit just based on customer needs. They all have the same like core values, which is a commitment to quality and customer service. But yeah, our inventories may vary, and some facilities have more equipment than others. Like in Windsor, we have a charcuterie slicer.
Okay.
So you can find the jamon bellota and some of the fun stuff over there that we just don't have access to in the other stores.
Right.
But we do all have one thing in common, and that's a passion for cheese.
And are any of them kind of heavy on blue, or heavier on goat, or heavier on local? I mean, I know you have local in all of them, but I mean, you know, I tend to go to the Windsor store just because it's more on my path, right? And there's some really wonderful goat cheeses there. And there's always a case near the cheese counter, right, where there are whole format and all pre-sliced stuff, but you also can come up to the case in all of them, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And the Windsor store does have a lot of refrigerated space, so there's a lot of everything. But all our stores tend to have a very large local presence.
And you talked about the bellota, or as the French say, bellota, but believe it or not, which is jamón ibérico, right? Do you, at any of the stores, do you have, are you in charge of that as well?
Some of it, yeah. Some of the higher end stuff. Yes.
You mean you're allowed to pick. So could you please have some brasaula? Some air-cured beef, because it's thinly sliced, and I haven't seen it anywhere in Sonoma County in a while, and it's delish.
I've actually been looking. I've been talking to a few people.
Oh, all right. All right.
Yes.
You heard it here first, folks. When we come back, we will be digging in. We will be talking to Sarah, and she's going to tell us about her wonderful experience in the world of cheese right back here at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and we're talking about cheese. I'm joined now on the phone, live from Lodi. And by the way, you know, Lodi used to be one of those towns in the middle of California or out there away from the coast of California that we kind of didn't know about. Lodi is getting talked about wines and about cheeses and about visiting and all kinds of really other great things. So, Sarah Spanker, welcome to At the Table.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Clark.
So, tell us all about Spanker Family Farm and your wonderful wines and cheeses.
Oh, well, sure. Where to start? So, we're a family farm, as the name implies. So it's my mom, dad, sister, and I who own and run it. And we started, the property has actually been in my family, my dad's side of the family, since 1902.
Wow.
Growing wine grapes for all of that time. And then my parents met, and they started our winery in 1994. So I was 4 years old, so I literally grew up in the wine business and talking about the nuances of winemaking when I was 10 years old at wine festivals and different things.
There you go.
But yeah, then when my sister and I went off to college, my mom replaced her kids with kids and got goats. And then when we came back, of course, two goats turned into four, and we bought more because goat math. And so and she was making cheese the whole time, and she's also our winemaker. And so my sister and I encouraged her to pursue her passion for the cheese making, because what goes better than wine and cheese?
Right.
And so we started the creamery.
Gosh. So what did you and your sister study that you brought back to the family farm?
So I was actually a theater major. So my sister studied art history, and I was a theater major. So all the makings of good agricultural students.
Well, I have to tell you, listen, I mean, one of the most important things that farmers often don't feel comfortable doing is talking to people. And who better than a theater major to go to farmers markets? And apparently they tapped you at 10 to go to festivals for a good reason, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've definitely always been tagged as a, oh, good, you're the people person, Sarah. So.
Sing out, Louise. And does your sister do the labels? They're adorable.
Yes. So she does all of our graphic designing. So everything from our wine labels to the cheese and our logo is all done by her.
Well, I mean, I just love that. I mean, look, sometimes on the farm, one of the boys knows how to fix the truck, right? But a graphic artist in the family is maybe more valuable.
You know, and she can drive a mean forklift and tractor, I will say that.
See, now she's got it all. So how many goats do we have now, and what kind of goats are they?
So we have a lot of breeds and mixes. So we have the La Manchas, we have Mini Nubians, Nigerian Dwarfs, and then crosses in between all of those.
Yeah, they get around, don't they? And this is a very special time of the year. And I, by the way, I'm very cognizant of the fact that this is a busy time of the year. They're busy kidding, right? They're busy making splotching sounds and having messy little kids that get up pretty soon and start bopping around, don't they?
Oh, they do. So, yep, we've had 118 babies so far born on our farm.
Whoa.
So, and we have a few more to go. So, thankfully, the big push is over. But, yeah, I mean, those baby goats, they come out ready to eat and walk in and all that stuff.
So. The big push. May I quote you on that, Sarah Spenger, that the big push for baby goats is, and, you know, people have fallen in love with goats. I mean, so where did your mother's obviously a great cook because she makes wine and she makes goat cheese. How many different kinds of cheese is she making? Are you folks making these days?
Let's see. Well, Chev is our primary. We've got lots of flavors of that, but we also have, oh gosh, I mean, now we're making like seven different kinds of aged cheeses. We do a camembert style. So she's always thinking up something new to add to the cheese case.
Well, that's really wonderful. And it's good to know, by the way, if you just joined us, it's Sarah Spenker from Spenker Family Farm in Lodi. And it's good to know that out of 70-something goats, 48 are being milked, that they rotate and that, you know, it's great for us to know all about where our food comes from and how challenging it is and exciting it is and delicious it is to do this. I think we probably met last year at the festival. This is your second time coming to the California Artisan Cheese Festival?
Yes, it is. And we're so excited. Last year, I mean, we were definitely nervous and feeling like the new kids on the block of like, you know, what do we do? And we're the only creamery in the San Joaquin County, which we're proud to represent, but also, you know, it's intimidating sometimes when you're going and, you know, to this whole cheese festival. But it was a wonderful experience. Everybody was so excited. I mean, and you're surrounded by cheese. How could it be wrong? So...
You're absolutely right. And you know, coming to, as a goat cheese company, family, as a goat cheese maker, coming to Santa Rosa is kind of perfect because you may know, Laura Chanel in the late 70s started making fresh California Chev in basically a permitted creamery built in her garage in Santa Rosa. And some years later, Sue Young Scanlon from Andante Dairy actually bought and refurbished that and started Andante Dairy there as well. And these are two people, along with Jennifer Bice from Redwood Hill, who really made goat cheese fresh and mostly made by women, popular all across America. So you're it's like a homecoming for you. What other kinds of agricultural activities are going on around you in Lodi?
I mean, obviously, there's tons of wine grapes around, so we grow them ourselves, and we're surrounded by vineyards around our dairy. But, I mean, the San Joaquin County grows everything. I mean, we have cherries and almonds, tomatoes. I mean, pretty much anything that you want to grow, it grows around here. Fresh strawberries.
It sounds wonderful. And how big is your property?
So we're on 60 acres.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah,
and so, how many are in how many are in grapes, and how many, and is there a kitchen garden, and where are the goats, and where are my car keys?
Well, yeah, so we've got about it'll be about 30 acres in vineyard, and then we're kind of in a transition for some of our vineyards going to go into hay production, and then possibly another crop, and then we've got about 2 to 4 acres for the goats right now. And yeah, and we do have our own little orchard. So we have, my mom has a peach little orchard that she started.
Nice.
And we have figs and apples and things. And whenever we can, we try to use our own produce that we make and put it into our cheese.
Yeah, you know, that's so wonderful. I mean, one of the things we've all been talking about, because this is wine country, that we may be overplanted in grapes, but the people who grow grapes are, what are they called? Oh, yes, farmers. And so sometimes, I mean, over the history of Sonoma County, we've grown potatoes and prunes and hops and apples and all these different kinds of things. So that adjustment is normal. And it's wonderful that you folks there in Lodi are beginning to be known for this diversity. And I can't help but think that your cheese making and your cheesemaking family is really helping to broaden and deepen and to excite people about things grown and made in Lodi and sometimes brought to the California Artisan Cheese Festival in Santa Rosa. We can't wait to see you. We're going to see you tomorrow, I think, is officially the day, Sunday, because we're recording this on Friday, but it's going to air on Saturday. And please be sure to say hello, of course, to Wade from Oliver's Market. Wade is here with some of the cheeses that he'll be serving. And we wish you all the best, and thank you so much for joining us here at the table.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Wolf, and we're talking cheese. What a surprise. It's the California Artisan Cheese Festival. It's the 19th annual. It's at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds from the 21st through the 23rd. You're hearing this on the 22nd. And yesterday there were tours, sold out tours. They always get sold out well in advance. So the next time, if you want to go, take a look at it and make your reservation early on. And then on Saturday, there are seminars all around the county that are very, very interesting. Go to artisancheesefestival.com and take a look at them. Even if you didn't get to go this time, it's really interesting to know about. And then we're talking about tomorrow, about the big deal marketplace. It's really kind of fun. The Bubbles and Bites starts early in the morning, and it's a little bit higher ticket. I will be hosting. There will be Bubbles and Bites. What, oh my gosh, what a concept. But also kind of a preview. And the few hundred people that come to the Bubbles and Bites get to go into the marketplace an hour early before the other 1,000 people show up and knock that fork out of your hand. No, that's not true. It's a very friendly crowd. So Wade Johnson is here from Oliver's. They've been big supporters of the Artisan Guild and the festival for years and years and years. And we met, actually, Wade and I met last year over cheese, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. And so so Oliver, I'm just about to call you Oliver. Actually, that wouldn't be the worst thing to be called, right? It wouldn't. What do you have in front of us? We're going to do some live cheese tasting, and it's not very crunchy, but the crackers might make noise.
So these are the three cheeses that we're going to be featuring at our table at the marketplace. We have the Valley Ford Estero Gold Reserve, which is a Montazio-inspired recipe. Montazio is kind of Asiago adjacent. The Wagon Wheel from Cowgirl Creamery, which is a raclette-inspired cheese. And then one of the new Tomas from Point Reyes Farmstead, the Tomarashi, which uses a Japanese spice blend.
All right, so let's talk about this. So first of all, you said it was Asiago adjacent. A Montazio, which is a younger table cheese, but it's not a town cheese. It's not a Toma. It's not a Cacciota. Usually historically in Italy, and a 20-pound wheel, 18-pound wheel, 22-pound wheel. Igvella used to make a Montazio style like that, and it was just wonderful. And this is, it's got more depth though than a usual one, because the Estero Gold is just so flavorful, and it is golden. Why is it golden? You know why.
Well, that's because of her herd of cows. It's Jersey cows, and they process the beta carotene differently, so it passes through the milk into the cheese.
That's right. Or they eat beets. I'm not really sure which.
Yeah.
No. It's very rich. It's high in butter fat. It's high in protein, and it's glorious, and it just wins all kinds of awards. And folks, if you have not been out to Valley Ford Creamery recently, it's a wonderful bar and cafe, and you can see into the cheese room, and they have, serious soft serve. Oh my gosh. Jersey milk soft serve. And I will tell you that Albert Strauss of Strauss Creamery also does a soft serve. They're both extraordinary. But we were all gathered there for the Farm Trails annual meeting, and Albert Strauss had a taste of the Valley Ford soft serve, of course, to just try it, right, to make sure. Then I caught him having a second taste. So you know it's good because Albert knows his dairy. But it's really a wonderful spot. And they've expanded the creamery right there in Valley Ford, right? Her son has come on, and it's a lively gathering spot where it's really happening, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. And to second what you said, I get grilled cheese sandwiches from them regularly there with an affogato.
With an affogato, folks. An affogato is espresso, usually with vanilla ice cream or the other way around, with vanilla ice cream with espresso tossed over it, right?
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of times in Italy, people don't seem to understand Italian espresso can be quite bitter, mostly because it's designed to go either over ice cream or with liqueur or with sugar. The Italians do it that way. Some of us just like the more Dutch style, cocoa style, that is Pete's and went on to Starbucks, and the really high-end small baristas do a great job, or the coffee houses. And that's chocolatey, and that's wonderful. All right, the next one is, you said it was raclette adjacent. Now, let's tell everybody what raclette is.
So those are cheeses well known for their melting properties from the Savoie area in France, and then there's also Swiss raclettes as well. Great wintertime cheeses. The outside is rubbed with a saltwater brine. It's washed, and that leads to bigger aromas from the bee linens that grow. The inside texture has a lot of elasticity, and it has that right amount of acidity where it's not too acidic, so when you melt it, it's like goopy and amazing.
It's absolutely wonderful. And it was used when people would go out for the day and work and work and work and work, and they'd come home in the evening and stoke the fire. They needed to eat right away. They needed good food. And sometimes it was a crust of yesterday's bread. Sometimes it was a roasted potato that was roasted right there in the fire. And this is a cheese where you would melt the face of it towards the fire and then scrape the melty cheese off and put it in your face, basically. And I got the 70s was famous for raclette parties, and only in Berkeley, right? Raclette parties. I used to have a friend who would tease me, "Are you at home having a raclette party?" Possibly. It's none of your business. It's kind of personal. But it's really wonderful, and it goes with fruity and zippy wines of all kinds, right? And it's also great with beer and with apple cider, with hard cider, right? I would think that would work really well.
Yeah, I could see that.
And you said you eat the Estero Gold rind because it's a completely natural rind, but not whatever this is.
I'm a little desensitized to cheese. I eat most rinds. I generally would eat a rind like this, but it really depends on the rind health.
Wagon Wheel. This is the Wagon Wheel from Cowgirl, right? Yeah. And they started that. The Cowgirls themselves started this cheese before they left, before they sold the company. So this is the imprint of Sue Conley and Peggy Smith. It's really there, and it holds up very well. It's really quite wonderful. And it's also, it's good pretty young. But it also ages nicely, right? It gets a little bit drier. It gets a little crystal in it sometimes. That's okay. And you can always put it in a macaroni and cheese. I mean, my favorite thing is to have all the little bits and pieces of the cheese that's in that drawer in the fridge. Scrape off any mold or any mold that you don't like. Blue mold, certainly pink mold or yellow mold. But white mold, scrape off blue mold a little bit. And just throw the whole thing into the macaroni and cheese and add some ham or some prosciutto. And you can have breadcrumbs on top, or you can just crisp the top. And serve a salad, please. All right. Tell us about the Toma.
So the third one is the Tomarashi, which is one of the newer cheeses from Point Reyes Farmstead. It's a semi-soft, like Tome style, so big, round shape. Wheel, wax coated. The inside is like super creamy. The base cheese itself has like a gentle tang. And then with the pepper blend, I think it adds a little bit of heat, which kind of plays nice with all those milky flavors.
And it's a cacciotto. It's a town cheese, basically, is what it is. And the thing that's sort of wonderful about it is that Japan does not necessarily have a long history because they don't have a lot of room of dairy cows. So this is a nice addition. We'll be right back here with more cheese at the table. table, and we're dreamy and creamy. It's really, it's a day for cheese here. It is spring, and somewhere out there, goats are hopping around like crazy. Goats are just goofy. Goats are wonderful. You know, sheep are also wonderful. We love them a lot. They eat the grasses very, very nicely. And in point of fact, of course, they're a bit more docile, a little bit more slow moving. They give less milk. A cow will give 8 or 10 gallons a day. And a goat will give 3 bottles of smart water, you know, 3 liters or so. And sheep will give 1. And not if it's flavored. You know, there's no, I guess there could be chocolate sheep's milk, but you'd have to add the chocolate. But anyway, the point is that it's higher protein and it's smaller quantity from the animal, which is why it's expensive. It's also really good for you. It's really, really, really healthy. I'm here talking to Wade Johnson. He's from Oliver's. They have long supported the Artisan Cheese Festival, which is this weekend. You can go to the marketplace tomorrow. Go to artisancheesefestival.com. It's fun to say. And either join me, I'm the host of the Bubbles and Bites, that's the early preview, or come to the general admission. If you come early, you get not only the Bubbles and Bites in the chat, and you get to meet cheesemakers, and you get to meet the winemaker, but you get to go into the festival early, like an hour early, and then everybody else, another 1,000 people show up, and you have the good parking spaces. Anyway, Wade will be there with me, and I want to talk to you, Wade, because you are the Uber cheese at the community that is known as Oliver's Markets. So let's talk about the things that go with cheese, and let's talk about this category, which these are the semi-soft, semi-firm, semi-soft. They're in the middle. They're table cheeses, right? They're very useful for a lot of things. What kinds of things go with these cheeses?
So yeah, what I always try to do when I pair food is, I don't always want two things that taste similar together. I want things that complement each other and they kind of elevate certain elements of each cheese. So the first one we tried, the Estero Gold Reserve, that one's a little drier in texture. It's got like a little bit of acidity and a little bit of like a salty note. So I think adding some kind of like freshly sliced fruit would bring a little sweetness to round out the sweet, the salty, and then you have the fat from the cheese. So yeah, freshly sliced like apples or pears or figs. I mean, figs are good all the time.
Yeah.
The answer is always fig.
The answer is always fig. And a dried fig is incredible with this, mm-hmm. right? It would be so, so wonderful. Sometimes a dried apple is not quite the right thing for this kind of a creamy cheese. Dried pear are wonderful on their own, but not necessarily if it's really dried. So there you go, fresh. But here, but a dried fig, dates are good with this. Oh my gosh. I want one right now. Almonds are good with this. Not so much cashews. They're okay. Walnuts are good with anything. What else?
The next one with the wagon wheel, we have a different flavor profile. So that one, it's a little more like fat forward and a little richer, but it doesn't have that like salty and acidic component. So with something like that, like you were mentioning earlier, like something crisp or like a cider or right. like a crisp wine, I think would help kind of pierce through that and right. it would kind of like bring out the best of both.
Because like a Sancerre, you could also have this with sparkling wine. Mm. There's no reason why you couldn't have it. Actually, both of them would be fine with sparkling wine, but you want something that's zippy and crisp,
yeah.
not too big and not too yeasty, right? Because then you'll lose it. So how much sake do you have with the other one?
That's a great question. For the Tomarashi, that was kind of our curveball this year. That's just a new one we wanted to feature. That would be maybe like some kind of like a fatty meat that's not too spicy.
There you go.
Yeah.
And also a Japanese beer. Why not? I think that'd be really nice. Or shoshu, in which case, after a couple of those, you don't care. Right? Everything, you start eating the phone book. Well, we don't have any phone books. They don't exist anymore. Leave your phone out of this. All right, look. Then let's talk about some other cheeses. What kinds of things do you like to serve with the hard cheeses? I mean, we have Dry Jack very famously in this community. Of course, there used to be a place called Lucy's Way, and it was in New York City, and it was only American-made cheeses, Wagy, of course. But she had only one international cheese, and it was Reggiano Parmigiano, because she said, how can I have a cheese shop without that, right? And you have very good Parmesan. You have even the Red Cow Parmesan, which I sported for recently and made me cry.
Yeah, we just brought the Red Cow back in all four stores. New producer. It's, this one's a 30-month wheel. And I tried it, and I couldn't stop tasting it for 15 minutes. It has such a finish on it. It was incredible.
I used to get four-year-old Rocca Reggiano. And oh my gosh, what you do is, we used to sell it at a very reasonable price for that time. And people would come in and buy big chunks of it and everything else in the store. You know, because if you came for that, for the anchor for your kitchen, right? And it can go in the fridge wrapped in a towel. You know what I mean? It is irregular. So if you wrap it in cling film, it doesn't always cling. And, it's really good. What do you serve with it other than, more?
For the Parmigiano?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. They call it the king of cheese for a reason, right? It has a lot of potential. I mean, I would probably do like a bigger red wine. Obviously, it has all of its food applications. I like to use that to, if I were to do like a mac and cheese, you can use that to top it to give it that golden brown crisp.
And it also oddly holds up to some of the spicier whites and some of the oakier whites, believe it or not, makes sense. And it also is just good all by itself. I've seen it consumed with espresso, but that's another story entirely. We'll be right back here for the last few minutes here at the table. Table and somewhere there's a ukulele with cheese on it. I love that sound. We're talking very briefly now in our last few minutes with Wade Johnson from Oliver's. He runs all the cheese departments. And how many people do you have working in cheese, not at one time, but I mean the entire group of people who might at any time be in the cheese department?
We tend to have three to four people scheduled per day, depending. In the holidays, it gets a little busier.
So. And so how many people is that total? How many individuals is that? He's counting fingers and toes.
About 20 mongers, mainly full-time with some part-time.
I love that. Almost two dozen mongers. I mean, it's practically a parade, right? And you said that last year when you did, you do cheese all the time, but when you brought in some wonderful Reggiano Parmesan, you merchandised it all over the store because it goes with so many things. Have you ever done a promotion that was completely focused on artisan American or artisan regional California cheeses?
We do local ones that we cycle through. I actually ran 9 different California producers on an ad for this week.
There
because,
you go.
It's the cheese festival. Why not?
So yes, is the answer. Yeah.
Yes,
and that goes that promotion goes through this Sunday or goes through next week or.
Tuesday will be the last day of the sale.
All right,
it's active right now.
All right, it's active. We love knowing that because you guys. Look. Oliver's sells some very good quality stuff, and I have to say that sometimes you can spend some real money there. By the same token, they also have really fair and special deals on all kinds of stuff. I start with what's on special. I don't want to say sale. I don't want sale food. It feels like it's old, but you do special purchases, so you get enough of it at the right time from the right person where it's a very good price for the quality it is. And so right now, what a surprise. Wade has got a special at all the Olivers on some of the California cheeses. So go and check it out. After you go to the marketplace, if they don't have it there, they might have it at Olivers on Monday or Tuesday, which is the last day, right?
Yes.
What's coming up? We haven't talked about goat cheese. What do you serve with goat cheese? I mean, come on.
With goat cheese, I like, if it's a fresh chev, I always love fresh chev with smoked salmon.
Yeah.
It's one of my go-tos with some sort of chili-esque thing included too.
I see a pizza.
Yeah.
I see a flatbread. I love that so much. And what about the aged ones?
The aged ones, I like to serve personally on a board with, depending on the flavor profile, I like a nice, dark, hearty beer with a nice aged cheese.
And as a matter of fact, the almost spreadable but aged, sometimes creamy, sometimes almost crumbly, sometimes goat cheeses are really good on black bread. They're absolutely delicious. All right, when we come back next week, we'll be dreaming of goat cheese, dreaming of all these our California artisan cheeses, and dreaming of our next trip to Oliver's. Wade, thank you so much for being here, and thank you to Oliver's for supporting the Artisan Cheese Festival.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
We'll see you next time here at the table.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be embarrassing.